Maxify is financial planning software you can use to help model your retirement, everything from Social Security to Medicare to how you're spending your investments. And it's the software we're going to take a look at in today's video. Hey, everybody, my name is Rob Berger. This is the Financial Freedom Show, where we talk about investing, retirement, and financial freedom. If those topics are of importance to you, I encourage you to subscribe to the channel. We're almost getting close to 100,000 subscribers. I also send out a newsletter every Sunday morning. You'll see a link for the newsletter below this video. I'm going to dive right into the software. I'm going to tell you up front, there's a lot of things I like about this software, but there are a number of things I don't like about it, and it's probably not something, or I should say it's really certainly not a tool that I am going to use. But I learned a lot from studying the tool. I think you will see that in this video, and maybe the tool will be right for you. Just because it doesn't work for me doesn't mean it's not a good option for you. So let's dive right in. So here it is, and one of the things I like about it is it's very easy to get it up and running. You don't have to put in a lot of data. The data you do put in is very easy. I'm gonna walk through a little bit of that right now, and I'll explain all of this as we kind of go, but I wanna start with what's called the base profile. And I put in just a fictional couple, John and Jane Doe, and you know, your date of birth, how long you're going to live. Yeah, I know, it's an estimate. The software assumes 100. You're going to live to be 100, so that's what I left that here. A really important assumption, but we'll talk about that as we go. When you're going to retire, I have them retired now. Your gender, here you put in your job. John doesn't have one. Again, he's retired. You put in your Social Security information. So here I just assumed a monthly amount. One of the things I like about this software is that you can actually download your earnings history from the Social Security Administration and then upload it here. And that allows the software to sort of fine tune the calculations. That's certainly what I would do if I were going to use this software. Again, these are just fictional data. So I just did some research and used a monthly amount for both John and Jane. And so with Jane, again, she's a couple of years younger, but she's going to live to be 100, same kind of thing. You put in financial assets for retirement accounts. You of course, you do that per person. And there's very little information. It's very quick. You know, the name, is it a IRA, employer-based account, or a Roth? The balance. You don't put in any information about the specific investment. You don't link your account to like a Vanguard or Fidelity or whatever. If you're still contributing, you can put that here. You can model some Roth conversions, so all that's fine. And I did that for both John and Jane. It's roughly, roughly about $1 million total, I think. And then regular assets, that's just what they call taxable. And it's the same kind of setup, very easy to do. I think in this case, I also put in some savings. And I marked it as a reserve fund, kind of like an emergency fund. So what that means is it's not going to be used as part of their drawdown. Not used for spending. Now, another thing I like about this software is you don't actually put in budgeting assumptions. The only expense you really have to enter is with housing. And in this case, I assumed they rented in Alabama. If you own, it's going to ask you for things like real estate taxes, yearly annual maintenance, and things like that. But that's really the only expense it asks for. And the idea behind this program is it's going to have some fixed expenses, and we'll look at them in a minute, housing being one of them. And that's it. And then what it does is it says, okay, and here's how much money you have left over to spend every year. And I kind of like that approach. It's very simple, and that kind of appeals to me. And so very easy to put this information in. If you have children, particularly if you're not retired yet, maybe you're still raising a family, it will make sense to put your children here if you have them. And then there's a series of settings and assumptions. I won't walk through all of them. I'm going to point out two that I think are particularly important. The first here is inflation and return assumptions. You can see they assume inflation. I don't know how well you can read that number, but 2.25% and returns at 3.75%. Extremely, extremely conservative. And that's going to come into play again in a minute. But of course, you can change that. The other assumption that I want to point out is these economies of shared living. The idea is this: if let's say for an individual it costs them $100 to live on, if you're a couple, it's not going to cost you $200, right? And the assumption is here it's going to cost you $1.6. So for every $100 an individual would spend, a couple would spend 160. That's important if you're modeling, say, one spouse passing away before another. The assumption when you start using the tool is 1.6. I didn't change it, but you could change that here. But that's important. I wanted to point that out. You know, it took me maybe 5 or 10 minutes to put in this fictional data. It's really pretty straightforward. Once you do that, you go to reports, and we're going to run the base plan. And this runs pretty quickly. I can tell you from using the tool, sometimes it could take 10 minutes for these to calculate. And you get a series of screens that you can navigate here on the side or by hitting the next button. I'll talk about a couple of them. This is the sort of the lifetime. This is the lifetime income adjusted for inflation. This is the lifetime spending. I personally don't find this screen helpful. And in fact, as you'll see in a minute, I sometimes find this data, particularly this discretionary spending, to be misleading. I'll explain why. But what I want to point out is that here's your housing expense based on the data I entered into the system. That's part of your fixed expenses. This was just the reserve fund. Here, this is taxes that they calculate for you, and you can break it down and look at federal, FICA, if you had a job, and state. And then Medicare, Part B. And then what's left over to spend is this discretionary spending. All right, let's take a look at Medicare for just a second. $190,000. As far as I can tell, the program doesn't tell you anything about how that number is calculated. And I can tell you, it's significantly less than the number that New Retirement comes up with. Now, I don't know who's right or wrong, but I would really like to see far more transparency in this tool, which it does not give you, at least that I can find. Now, maybe it exists somewhere else and I've missed it. I have no idea how that number was calculated. Now, so that's problem one that I have. Income and spending. This shows you total income, that's the green line, per year. By the way, I find this to be far more useful than some sort of lifetime number. So income would include Social Security. If you had a pension and you entered that, it would include that. If you had an annuity, it would include annuity income. The blue line is the fixed spending that we looked at just a minute ago, housing, taxes, Medicare. And then this orange line is the discretionary spending, and you can see it uses a constant dollar approach, sort of like the 4% rule. And in this case, it gives discretionary spending of about $47,000 a year. Now, remember, this is factoring in not just their retirement savings and pulling money from that, but it includes Social Security as well. Now, again, transparency is an issue. How is this number calculated? And it turns out, I emailed Maxify about this because I was wondering how they dealt with sequence of returns risk. And their answer was, that's why we have such a low return assumption. And I just don't find that a useful, meaningful way to approach this issue. Basically, this calculation is just dead simple. You know, they take the Social Security data, the information you enter, and they just assume that inflation is always 2.25% every year and that returns are always 3.75%, and they just run the numbers. And in that sense, I don't find this tool to be much very sophisticated at all. Now, it does have a Monte Carlo analysis simulation tool, which I can show you in a minute, but it's not baked into this analysis. It's sort of like a separate tool that you can run on the side. And I just found that wanting, lacking. So I was not happy with this aspect of the tool, but there it is. Now you can look at table view as well, which is useful. And then we don't need to go through each one of these, but it shows you, it breaks out savings and withdrawals. It shows you the living standard. We can look at this in chart view. Notice that this is when John dies. And so this number, you'll see the orange line is per adult living standard, 29,000. If you multiplied that by that 1.6, that assumption that I showed you, that's where you get the 47,000. That's fine. You can look at year at a glance. You can kind of scroll through each year. I find this could be useful, I suppose, to a point. And you can break down income and look at, like, here's Social Security. You can look at his retirement account withdrawals by year and so on. So I think this information is useful. But again, all the numbers are based on a really, really simplification, a very simple analysis that does not factor in the ups and downs of the market and the ups and downs of inflation. It just assumes you're going to live to be 100, and we've got a return assumption of 3.75 and an inflation assumption of 2.25, and here are the numbers. I just don't find that all that useful. Now, where the tool in theory could become a little more useful, if we go back to reports, remember we ran this base plan, but they have this thing called the Maximize plan. I think that's where they get the name of the tool, Maxify. What this tool will do is see if there's any way they can improve upon the base plan. For example, by claiming Social Security in a different way, spending down retirement accounts in a different way, like Roth before non-Roth or vice versa. Now, when I saw that, I thought, well, why not just start with this and get rid of the base? Why do we need the base plan? Let's just start with a Maximize plan. I don't know. This is just how they decided to do it. So if we click this, you can have some assumptions. Now, one of them is, do you want to annuitize part of your, or maybe even all of your assets? I've said no. And this is where that 100-year, living to be 100 assumption, I think, doesn't make much sense. If you assume you're going to live to be 100, boy, an annuity makes all kinds of sense because you're going to live well past your life expectancy. So I've run this where I've clicked this as yes and said, yeah, let's look at possible annuities. Well, guess what? If you're assuming you're going to live to be 100, of course it's going to annuitize as much as it can. But I don't know that that's very useful. So I am going to leave that as no. But of course, if you want to use this tool, you can play with these different assumptions. And we'll start to maximize this. This could take a minute. Let's see, 5 minutes to actually run that analysis. And so we're looking at the base plan versus the maximized plan. You can see the discretionary spending has gone up significantly, but we need to sort of dive into the details. You can see here what it looks at. It looks at maybe maximizing how you claim Social Security, calculating tax-efficient retirement account withdrawal plans, maybe optimizing use of Roth versus non-Roth accounts. And then 4 is stretching retirement income via annuities. We didn't select that, so that wouldn't be part of it. And then we can walk through screens that show us what it does. One of the things you'll notice is that with the Maximize plan, that's the orange line, on a year-by-year basis, discretionary spending goes up, but it's not constant. It doesn't stay the same. That's usually, at least in the tests I've run, because of differences in claiming Social Security. You might delay Social Security. And in fact, I'm sure that's what they did here. Let's take a look. We'll get to it. So in the base plan, John filed at 65. The software is having him file at 69. In the Maximize plan, Jane, same thing, went from 63 to 69. But see, this is another problem that I have with this software. There should be some big warning sign that says, hey, all of this is assuming you're going to live to be 100. If you don't live to be 100, if you live to be 83, these numbers are going to change dramatically. And this may not be the best way to maximize Social Security. And in fact, whatever that plan might be for Social Security, the difference won't be nearly as great. It doesn't tell you that. And I think unless you spend a lot of time with the tool and really think through all of these issues, I think that could be lost on a lot of people. And I think the tool really does a disservice in that sense. And you know, so in any event, if you assume to be 100, yeah, it makes sense you're gonna delay Social Security. And then it gives you sort of charts and details on all of this. In this case, the withdrawal dates for your retirement accounts didn't change for John. He's both cases, he starts at 65. He's going to, in both cases, it has him pulling from non-Roth first. Sometimes it flips it, but in this case, no change there. No annuities. In this case, the base plan had Jane starting to pull money from her accounts at 65. The Maximize plan starts at 63, so a small change there. No change to Roth versus no Roth, and there was no annuitization. Now, once you go through all of that, you can actually apply this to the base plan, or you can apply it to a new alternative profile. We'll do a new alternative profile and base profile maximized. So now, having done all of that, we can now create alternative profiles, which I've done. I've named them here. I've got one. I don't want to always assume everyone's going to live to be 100. So what if we die early? So I assume John died at, I think, 82 or 83, and Jane at 87. So what we can now do is run this, well, any of the plans. We could run our base plan, but we're going to run our base profile maximize plan. You see that up here, against our die early plan. So here are some things. Again, the transparency should be a lot better. When you look at the base profile maximize, you see this big number for this sort of lifetime discretionary spending. Boy, 1.6 million looks a heck of a lot better than 1.2 million. But of course, the reason is you're dying early. So you're obviously, you don't get Social Security benefits after you die, it turns out. And so, yeah, you're not going to get nearly as much Social Security. However, discretionary spending actually goes up in the die early plan because you can spend more of your retirement assets because you're not assuming you're going to live to be 100. And again, I think the tool could do a significantly better job of explaining all of these nuances, and it just doesn't. And so the data is here if you want to be patient and try to figure it all out, but they don't make it easy for you. Now, I ran a number of other, and you could, by the way, go through this. You can compare all of the different aspects of their plan. Like if we went to John's Social Security, obviously it stops. So, you could look at all of these per adult living standard. You could compare everything. Then you could look at each plan individually. And so that's useful. But if we go back to reports, you can see I've got like, well, what if we assume higher returns? And I think I assumed, I want to say 5%. We could run this plan against the maximized plan. And you start to see that there are so many different really important assumptions that you could change and just get dramatically different results. And I think it left me wondering, I don't know how I'd make a decision using this tool about what I should do. And you get the same kind of screens. Again, obviously, on the higher returns, the discretionary spending was still significantly lower. But this kind of proves the point. What I could do, look at this. We could go to reports. I could run the die early report. Let me actually see if I can change it. I want to go to die early. So I've got that up here. Right, I could go to reports and I can maximize the die early plan. And then I could compare the die early plan maximized to the base plan maximized. And you could see you could do this over and over again. I could do it then with the higher returns plan. And it kind of leads you down a trail of never-ending comparisons. And it just led me to conclude this tool is just not right for me. I could have maximized the higher return plan, but let's see what this comes up with. Okay, that just took about 2 minutes. And so the die early plan, again, the maximized, we'll call it the maximized base plan, again, obviously has higher discretionary spending, although not by a lot. And in the die early plan, John and Jane are dying significantly earlier, which I found interesting. And you can go through the same screens. Obviously, with the die early plan, you have more discretionary spending because you can withdraw your retirement assets at a higher level than you otherwise could, assuming you live to be 100. You can look at the differences. Here, there's really not much difference in the way they're dealing with Social Security, and we could go through all of the different reports. So we could do that. I had some Roth conversions in here. You could take each one and then you could maximize each one and then you could compare them. You can run a survivor plan. At the end of the day, I just found that there were too many variations. There wasn't enough transparency in how the numbers were being calculated. To the extent I did understand how the numbers were being calculated, it was based on a very simple calculation, assuming constant returns and constant inflation, and I just didn't find it useful. I will say that there is Monte Carlo that you can run, both what they call upside investing and full risk investing. I'll run this analysis, but even this I found not all that helpful. And the screen's not all that easy to understand. I had to watch videos to understand how this works. It basically uses a base profile, in this case, a moderate investment strategy, which is 50, which turns out to be 50-50. You can actually view the details here. And then we can just go through, I'm going to go through these screens quickly, and this will take a minute, and let's take a look at the results. Okay, well, that took about 5 to 6 minutes, which is surprising to me. Monte Carlo simulation shouldn't take that long, but in any event, it walks you through a number of screens. What you're looking at is one of 500 simulations. And I think they do it this way to just sort of walk you through the construction of it. And as you go through, here's another simulation. Again, this is based on what they call living standard. We looked at that before. And if we go through, you'll see the different percentiles. So the fifth percentile would be a bad retirement, so to speak. If you retired in a year that turned out not to be so great. At the top, 95 percentile would be the best. This is, I suppose, perfectly fine as a Monte Carlo simulation, as a sort of a standalone tool. But because it's not integrated into the actual tool itself, I'm not quite sure what we do with this. I mean, there's data. Now, how do you decide what you're going to spend each year? I just didn't find this very useful. You can go through and you can look at that analysis for the base plan and the die early plan. Those were the two we were comparing, and you can download it, but you can look at it at a table view. But it's the kind of data that I just didn't find useful. So the tool is easy to use. I like some of its approaches, like not requiring you to come up with a budget and just showing you sort of everything left over after Medicare taxes and housing. I kind of like that approach. But at the end of the day, the lack of transparency in how the numbers are calculated and the not being clear on how different assumptions affect the numbers that you're seeing. I think for most people, myself included, I would have a really hard time coming up with a plan for retirement based on this tool. So that's my take on it. Not something that I am personally going to use, but maybe it works for you. If it does, let us know about it. Leave comments. Let us know why you like it. And if you have any questions, please leave them in the comments below. I will do my best to help you out any way I can. And I will have more videos on other tools, hopefully tools that I like a little better. I'm going to do one on Prelana, which is an Excel-based tool that I'm really looking forward to using, and another one on Trajectory, which I've used some. Those are the two tools that I'll be looking at and doing videos on soon. So if that's of interest to you, please subscribe to the channel. Until next time, remember, the best thing money can buy is financial freedom.